Lord, we desire you above all things. Thank you for meeting that desire already today by your presence here in worship and in the reading of your word, in the talking about our community life, Lord. But now, Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive what it is that you would impart to us, that we might live and reflect you to a world that is so hungry for you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I have a lot of papers up here today. Don't panic. I leaned over to Andrew after the reading of the Old Testament lesson, and I said, I think there's a new sermon coming. But then the Lord said, the first one was okay. If my informality is offensive to you, my drinking my coffee while preaching, get over it. I'm kidding. Right, honey? this morning, I awakened around 6 o'clock. My coffee bearer, and it's happened off my car too. I awakened and I was spending this wonderful time with the Lord, and I was going to sit down and go over the things that I'd been preparing for this morning, and he gave me some pictures, memories, and one memory was of one of my sons. He must have been probably 7. We have a picture of it. And this one day, he went upstairs and put on my clergy shirt and a collar and got my home communion set out and was celebrating communion. Now, don't panic. There was that's for you, Andrew. And but we were so taken by it, and we thought that's really cute. And then I was remembering some events I've been having with my grandchildren recently, and I'm finding my grandchildren, when I look at them, they look like my children. What I mean is that they, some of my grandchildren will stand the same way that their father stands, will walk like their father walks, will have the same terrible sense of humor that one of my son-in-laws has. I see them just naturally doing certain things. I have another grandson that just loves working in the yard at the age of 10. And but that's his father's passion. It loves to work in the yard. His father is a vet, and I see his son just has such a love for cats. It just emulates, it just reflects so much of who they are. And so I started to sense the Lord talking about how we reflect what we're next to. In a negative way, we had a dog by the name of Heidi. And this one night, I let Heidi out, and Heidi just bolted into the darkness. And then I heard this yelping noise. And Heidi came back with just salivating, and there was this intense smell. And I didn't understand what had happened, and so I thought there was something in Heidi's throat. So I reached in and I was trying to dislodge whatever might be in Heidi's throat. And then I thought, well, Claudia, she's a medical person. I better go upstairs. So I ran upstairs to her office. And I said, honey, something's really wrong with Heidi. And she said, you've been sprayed by a skunk. And I said, no, I haven't. I had. And so I wasn't directly, but Heidi had been sprayed. And so Heidi now smells like a skunk. Now I get close to Heidi and now I smell like a skunk. And so then we do the thing you should never do with a dog that's been sprayed by a skunk is bring them into your house, put them in the bathtub and try to give them a bath and have them shake their fur, wet fur. And so we have skunk on the, and so the next morning I go to work and I think maybe no one will notice. And so I'm sitting in the office and someone comes in and says, what happened? And I said, what do you mean? And they said, it smells like a skunk. Again, it's this thing that you and I can reflect what we stand next to. There's a thing I've noticed in worship. I noticed it Friday night in the presence service and healing service, that you see people come in one condition and you see them go out in a different condition. They look different because they have been encountering God. They've been standing next to the Lord. The Lord's presence is with them. And so they begin to reflect the Lord. Sometimes in wedding ceremonies, I've noticed couples come in and you can tell they're not talking. They looks like they had meaningful dialogue on the way to the service. But after the service, you see them arm around each other. You see them hand in hand. What's happened? They've come in contact with God, and God has imparted his nature, his personhood to them. We reflect what we stand next to. There's a scripture, we'll start with in Ephesians, the epistle today, because it's such a challenging word from the Lord that Paul is speaking. And he's talking about the Christian, how the Christian is to look different than people of the world. And he outlines, first of all, what are the condition of people of the world? Well, they have a hardness of heart. They're callous. They've lost all sensuality. They're into greedy practices. They do all these things. And yet then he goes to, what does a Christian look like? And he says, therefore, having put away all falsehood, each one of you should speak truth with his neighbor. We are members of one another. Be angry. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. And he goes on with a list of things. He says, this is your to-do list as a believer. And you're to look different in this way from how the world looks. But then he crushes it. He says, therefore, be imitators of God. I was doing pretty good about the anger and don't let the sun go down. And I was doing pretty good with these other things. I slip up. But then when this verse comes, therefore, you are to be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Paul, in another place, talks about follow his example, follow my example. But here he says, my example is to imitate God. To imitate God. I can't do that. I can't do that apart from God. If I try to imitate God, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do it. And Paul says, but do it. How do I imitate God? How is that possible? Well, Paul outlines many times these different things that God gives us, that we have a new identity. We're children of God. We have a new family. We're in the family of God. We have a new heart and a new spirit. We have the mind of Christ. We have the power of the Spirit. We have all these things so that a person can be an imitator of God. But the one thing that so often is missing is what Paul says in Corinthians. In Corinthians, he talks about whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes a veil, and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. Paul is saying that in Christ, because of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, we are now in fellowship with God the Father through Christ, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says that because there is no separation between us and God, as we look upon Him, as we see Him face to face, in whatever way He reveals Himself through the Word and worship and prayer, that we begin to reflect Him. We begin to think more like Him. We begin to say the things that God says. We begin to see life and situations the way God sees them. We begin to find ourselves delivered of sin and death. We find transformation, but it happens because we're in the presence of God. That I hunger for God's presence. That I hunger to see Him. And as I see Him, that the things that are part of who He is are imparted to me. And I can begin to imitate God. Now, here's the problem. And I've had this problem all my life until I retired. Quote, retired. I would get up in the morning. I would get the coffee kind of as I was running out the door. I was in such a hurry, this will gross you out. I would make coffee, instant coffee with hot tap water, because I couldn't wait for the microwave, but I was in such a rush. And I'd head off to seminary, and someone would always stop short in front of me, and I'd spill my coffee on my shirt and go into chapel looking like, you know, like I did. But I was always rushing. I was always running. And I was reading this person and reading this person. I was writing this paper, and I was doing field work, and I was doing stuff in the life of the church, and I was always busy, busy, busy. And something happened when I retired. I stopped doing that. The other thing that happened, God wakes me up early. I don't like naturally getting up early, but that's what's happening. And so then I found myself in this place, whether in the family room or on our porch, just being in God's presence, just worshiping Him, and reading from His Word and how He would speak to me through His Word. And I would refrain from checking on the latest Ohio State football news. I would refrain from checking any news reports or commentaries about the world today. I would leave that all behind. I wouldn't even want to read what other Christians were writing, though all of those things are good. But the thing was, it was God being in his presence. And I found that I started to naturally change. I started to see life differently. I would see ministry differently. I would see my wife differently. I would have discernment that I didn't naturally have. I would find gifts of the Spirit operating afresh. I would find a new heart of worship, and the more I worshiped and fixed my eyes on the Father, because the veil is gone, that I have this fellowship with the Father through Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Spirit and Christ in my heart, and I have this fellowship with the Father. And then I started to notice my attitudes started to change. Now, my wife will let you know that's not true all the time. Oh, I do put on the old man again periodically, as Paul would say, and I have to take it off again and put on the new. But I find the new man is released in me the more that I am in fellowship with the Father. There's a study done, and I'll have to, I've never checked it out to make sure it's honest, and like all things on the internet, you never know. But it talked about that domestic violence increased on Sunday afternoons. There's a pitched higher. You know why? Football. Men watching football. That's what they would rub shoulders with. Now, I love football. I watch it. But this was showing that there's a case to be made that what you watch on TV, you actually become. You can't help it. It's just the way we're made. And so the Lord says, you are different than the world. You are different from the world. I want you to be so different and seem so different and look so different that people would see God in you. That they wouldn't see opinions or other things, but they would see the Sermon on the Mount being manifested in your life. Greatest sermon Jesus ever preached. That they would see that. And they would be drawn to that. I find that God only calls me to do things I can't do in my own power. I've given it a lot of tries. It hasn't worked. But being close in fellowship with the Lord, feasting upon the Word of God, feasting upon His presence in worship and prayer, whether Sunday morning or in my home, feasting upon the Lord in worship as I'm driving. Now, does that mean I don't have a normal life? Oh, I do. Yeah, I got a lot of problems, normal problems like everyone else. A lot of things bother me at times. But in the midst of it, I have to come back and say, God, I want to be with you so that you can release your life in me and I can imitate you. So a question I had to ask myself this morning after this time with the Lord was, what does my wife see? Does she see the Lord? Am I reflecting Him today? In my words, in my attitude, in my thoughts, in my behavior? Or am I imitating something else? If I'm imitating something else, it means I'm probably closer to that than I am to the Lord. Football is great. All these things are great. Fine. But what we want to do is be in the presence of God. He changes us, and we become more and more like Him. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the awesome news that the curtain in the temple has been torn asunder from top to bottom, that through your death and resurrection, Jesus, you have opened up the way for us to enter into the most holy of holies. Lord, I confess I get distracted by ministry and church things and things in our culture and things in the world, and I get absorbed in them, and I can get absorbed in silly things. I call them silly now. I hope I do later, but silly things like OSU football and Michigan and all of those things. And Lord, have mercy. I'm sorry. Lord, I want to reflect you. I want you to be the primary person I'm in fellowship with. Lord, those times are so special. Those times are so unique, Lord. I come out of those and I find myself different. Life looks different. The world looks different. The church looks different. All things are different. And so, Lord, I pray for a while back ago, there's a word about going back to elementary things, going back to the basics. And Lord, that you would take us back to that time that we first met you, Jesus, how we enjoyed knowing you and the power of the Spirit and all those things and the fellowship we had with you. And Lord, that you would renew, you would give us a baptism of love for you, Father, Son, and Spirit, that we might dwell and seek you. And Lord, more and more, others will see you being manifested as we have died with you, Christ, and we have been raised to new life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.